Okay. Shalom, everybody, and welcome, especially to the new people. It's inevitable to people want to learn Orot HaMilchama, which is Rav Kook's articles, which he wrote during World War I. But as we're going to see, they are a lot more applicable today with the wars of Israel, and that's obviously what he had in mind also. Before we start, I want to dedicate the shiur in memory of Bluma Bat Rivka V'Yitzchak Isaac. That's Judith Lindner's mother, and tonight is her yahrzeit. About 2-3 years ago, we were having in Beit HaRav a Yom Iyun. I think it was on the yahrzeit of Rav Kook on Gimel Elul, and the topic was Midot HaRiyah, and all the guest speakers were supposed to choose one midah. So I ran to grab Midat HaGvura, because it's one of the biggest game changers, one of the biggest innovations in the writing of Rav Kook. I published a couple articles on this that Rav Kook actually talks a lot about physical and military Gvura. And I'll just one last word of introduction. There's a very common misconception in the academic world that people think that Rav Tzvi Yehuda, Rav Kook's son, was a lot more right-wing than his father. Now, Rav Kook did not see the Six-Day War. He did not see Yehuda V'Shomron. He did not see Gush Emunim, obviously. On the other hand, anybody who has researched Rav Kook, and obviously we're not, this isn't a class in history, but I made a list of 14 examples where Rav Kook is very, very clearly very nationalistic. He even got in trouble once, because serious trouble, after Chaim Arlozorov was assassinated, and the police claimed that it was somebody from the right wing, from the Eitzel, from the Irgun who did it, and Rav Kook had inside information from the police, from a Jewish policeman, that Avram Stavsky, who was framed, he was totally clean. But the left wing thought that Rav Kook was siding with the right wing, and like I said, he got in trouble for this. Rav Kook, maybe I'll just bring one or two examples. On Purim, at Rav Kook's Su'udat Purim, that's, you know, a time that Rabbanim let their hair down, as they say. And one Purim, he told stories about his Rebbe as a child. That was Rav Eliezer Don Yichya. Some may know the family, the Don Yichya family, from a big Mizrahi family. And this Rebbe was very, very physically strong. And Rav Kook would tell about his physical prowess, that he used to be able to bend coins with his bare hands, and how when the Cossacks used to attack the Jews, he would stand up and lead the defense of the Jews. And Rav Kook spoke very highly of that physical strength. Another Purim, this was after the riots of 22 or 29 or 32, I don't remember exactly, where the Purim afterwards, Rav Kook led a march on Purim during his Su'udah, saying, we are starting the Jewish army to fight Amalek. And he started giving orders, like they used to give orders in the Russian army, whatever that is, and I don't know how Rav Kook knew that, but Bekitzur, for him it was not just another issue. And as we're going to see in Orot HaMilchama, Rav Kook was, as is often the case, by geniuses, about 2 or 3 generations ahead of his time. And tonight's topic is a good example. Okay, so let's get into it. Hopefully, Bezrat Hashem. Oh, this is Orot Milchama Bet. Oh, I guess we're going to next time do Orot Milchama Aleph. This is Rav Kook. He writes as follows. Source number one. Here, let me go into this share screen. Here we go. Anu mistaklim bedorot harishonim amesuparim batorah banavim ubaktuvim. You don't hear me? Am I on mute? Can anybody hear me? Okay, let's say that. Again, אנו מסתכלים בדורות הראשונים המסופרים בתורה, בנביאים ובכתובים. When we look at the olden days.
Sorry,
there's nothing I can do. Maybe we'll go back to G meeting next time. I think that was maybe better. But, okay, anyway, this is what we have tonight. And I'm taping the meeting anyway, and I'll be putting it up on... I'll send it out to all of the groups, the WhatsApp groups and the email groups and the YU Torah, Bezrat Hashem. You'll be able to find it. Okay, again, Rav Kook says, when we look back at the heroes of the Tanakh, Otama dorot shayu asukim b'milchama, those generations that were very active in wars. You have to remember, for about 1900 years, Jews did not serve in the army. World War I was, after the French Revolution, World War I was really the first time that a lot of Jews, served in the army. Jews had begun assimilating, is the emancipation, etc., etc. But Rav Kook is pointing out that for 1900 years, the Jew fought with his passport and not with a gun. And the only reason why Jews were living in Lithuania was because it was good. And as soon as it wasn't good, they moved to Poland. If it wasn't good in Poland, they moved to Germany. If it wasn't good in Germany, they moved to America. And but if we look in the Tanakh, we see that all the heroes of the Tanakh were military heroes. Vehemem ha-gedolim, these are the heroes, with a capital T and a capital H, sha'anu mityachsim elehem bididut u'gdulat kodesh, that we look upon them with fondness. I remember I learned this in Shana Bet in Yeshiva, and I almost fell off my seat as soon as I digested the idea. Like, how is it nobody ever noticed that? That Avram Avinu, we just read in last week's Parsha, there are four kings from the north who are so strong they conquer the five kings from the south, and Avram Avinu conquers them and chases them all the way up north, and there's a whole chapter in Tanakh about that. And Yaakov Avinu, actually I brought that, Yaakov Avinu in source 4, we'll be reading in a couple of weeks, Perek Kaftet. The Ramban brings about the story of the well. Vayar vine ber basadev, vine sham shlosha edrei tzon, rovtzim alea. And we all remember the story, that Yaakov is very thirsty, he has a long journey, and he asked the shepherds, why don't we move the rock so that we can drink? They said, it's too heavy, we can't move it. And Yaakov Avinu approaches the rock, and he moves it, and the Ramban points out, Ya'aricha katuv besipur hazeh. The Torah goes at length in this story, Lo dienu ki kove Hashem yachlifu koach. It was a pasuk from last week's Haftarah, that those who yearn for Hashem, they have renewed physical strength. Yirato titenos. Yirat Hashem gives a person bravery or strength. Kine Yaakov Avinu ba min haderech v'ayef. Remember, Yaakov Avinu had a long journey. He's very tired. And nevertheless, vayagel levado ha'evin asher ayu tzvichim elea kol haroim. And the Ramban does a cheshbon. He says that if there are three flocks, that means that there are, each flock has one roeh, a shepherd in the front, and a shomer in the back. There are probably at least six people, probably more. And Yaakov Avinu is stronger than all of these people put together. And then we go on to our name. Am Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Torah. Where is our name Israel from? When Yaakov Avinu physically wrestles with the angel and pins him down and says, I won't let you go until you bless me. And he blesses him and says, your name will be Yisrael because you have wrestled with angels and with man and you have defeated them. Now, if Hashem chose this name for his chosen nation, that means that this idea of physical wrestling is some kind of ideal. Moshe Rabbeinu, the most complete Jew who ever lived, our first impression, and everybody learned in literature, Lahavdil, right, that your first impression of every character is very important, right? The author knows that that's the picture that stays with you. And the Torah is not literature, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu invented this trick, so he knows that as well. And our first meeting with Moshe Rabbeinu is when he sees an Egyptian beating a Jew, and he kills him. And well, Sefer Yehoshua is conquering the land of Israel. Well, Sefer Shoftim, all the heroes, we don't know anything, and that's the main point. We don't know what these heroes ate for breakfast. We don't know what they looked like. We don't know how they dressed, because that's not important. We only know a very little about each hero of the Tanakh. Nevertheless, Hashem goes out of his way to tell us that each one of the heroes of the Tanakh, Shamgar ben Anat, Otniel ben Kenaz, Shimshon, Gidon, Yiftach, Shaul HaMelech, David HaMelech, this, Rav Kook is pointing out, cannot be a coincidence. And the question is why? And we're going to see 10 different reasons in the writing of Rav Kook. Here in this paragraph, he doesn't elaborate. And that's why I made this source sheet, so that we can see 10 different points why Rav Kook thinks it's so important. But let's just continue in the paragraph. Hinenu mevinim she'azika nishmat. You know what? Maybe even before we go on, maybe I'll just sharpen the question. When I was in my 20s, I used to write Chovrot Hadracha for Bnei Akiva, leadership activities. And there was an activity that I liked doing. It was especially good during the week, obviously. But we can do it here. Where I'll ask everybody to take out a mental pen and paper and draw a picture of a strong person. Mamash draw, right? What does he look like? What's he wearing? What's he doing? How old is he? Right? Mamash details, right? Got a picture? Okay, freeze the picture. Now turn over to the other side of the paper in your mind and draw a picture of a tzaddik, of a righteous person. And again, same thing. What's he wearing? What's he doing? How old is he? It's not the same picture, right? And that just sharpens the question, because the stereotype is that either a person is very spiritual, like we think of the Chafetz Chaim, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, or you think of somebody who's physically strong. And on the other hand, you look in the Tanakh, and the Tanakh goes out of its way to stress that the heroes of the Tanakh, in addition to their spirituality and their altruism, which we talk about all the time, right? Anybody? That's what we always talk about. But one time, Rav Kook is pointing out, hey, it's important to the Tanakh that these heroes, these are the Jewish heroes, were also, quote-unquote, superheroes, right? Militarily, physically strong. So Rav Kook continues, Hinenu mevinim she'azika nishmati hu hayesod. The spark of their spirituality, that is the basis of their physical strength. In other words, real spirituality does not contradict physical strength. Oto ma'amad ha'ulam she'alach bimrutzato az. The way of life that was accepted in the times of the heroes of the Tanakh, shaita milchama kol kach nechutzabo, that violence and war was such a big part of man when they were primitive. I'll add, unfortunately, Rav Kook did not see World War II, and he did not see Simchat Torah 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And, you know, sometimes we have this vision that mankind is really mature. Obviously, we matured, but sometimes we give ourselves a little more credit than we deserve.
It was more frequent than
that. Right, right. In those days, that was the norm. Who garam lo fiat ila haneshamot? Davka, the wars that the heroes of the Tanakh had to fight, that enabled these great spirits, spiritual souls, to appear. Shargashatana pnimit betochan shalem haita. Their inner feelings, they were at peace. They were complete personalities. Or as Rav Kook writes in Orot HaTshuva, he's really paraphrasing the Kuzari, the ideal Jew is nefesh b'riah beguf bari. The ideal Jew is a healthy soul in a healthy body. Milchemet kiyumam kiyum ha'uma. And here, as we're going to see, Rav Kook connects this, that they were fighting for the national existence of Am Yisrael, of the chosen people. And we had a lot of enemies, and since the Tanakh, we've had a lot of enemies. And if for 2,000 years, Jews just used to run away, we look back at Tanakh, and as Rav Kook is going to say in the last sentence, it's time that we look back into Tanakh and remember what the ideal Jew is supposed to be like. David HaMelech did not run away when Goliath appeared. And none of the heroes of the Tanakh shied away. We always loved peace. And we never looked for fights, but we knew how to defend ourselves very, very well. Milchemet Hashem haita, the wars that the heroes of the Tanakh fought, they are the wars of God. Haita bahakara pnimit, they had this internal feeling that they are fighting, even when Avram is going to save Lot. That is not just a small war. That's a history. It's going to be written in the Bible, right? All of the stories that we mentioned, they are meant to be written in the Bible forever. And this is what Judaism is about. Azizim hayu berucham. They were very strong in their spirit. Notice Rav Kook keeps interplaying between the spiritual and the physical. And his whole point is, no, the two do not contradict. V'yadu ba'omek ha'choshech livchor betov v'lasur minara. And even in a world which was totally black, they knew how to choose good and not to do bad. I'll just mention the Ramban that I remember we once learned together. Oh, it went down. Sorry. Toda. Yeah, here we're back up in source number one, I'm sorry. Again, we'll do the last sentence. Azizim ayu berucham v'yadu ba'omek ha'choshech livchor betov v'lasur minara. I started mentioning the famous Ramban on the mitzvah, v'ayam machanecha kadosh, where in Parsha Ki Teitzeh, it says that one of the 613 mitzvot is to dig... to dig a latrine in an army camp. And the Ramban says, that does not sound very, like a very spiritual mitzvah. You know, the army camps and latrines, like. And the Ramban says, davka, because there's a tendency in army camps to lose a person's fineness, to become crude, to become gas. How do you say gas? Is there a better word than crude?
Coarse, maybe.
Coarse, right? And anybody who goes to even go camping, an overnight camp, you know, for 3-4 days without a shower, without running water, you begin to start feeling scuzzy, right? And the Ramban says, well, that's a problem, a known problem in every army camp in the world, right? That the language in the army camps are the filthiest language that you have. They used to say... when I was a kid, that he talks like a sailor, right? The guy talks like a, you know, it's because sailors talk dirty. And the Ramban knows that, and that's what Rav Kook is referring to here. He says, even though the idea of the military and the army, people have a tendency not to act nicely. See, Eshet Yifator, right? You'll remember, Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzer Hara. And unfortunately, even in modern wars, every now and then you hear about rape as part of the war. And the Ramban says, well, that's exactly one of the reasons why we are surprised to find that all the heroes in the Tanakh are also military heroes. Because they reveal godliness and morality and adinut. How do you say adinut? refining, right? There's a word that I'm looking for. Delicateness, right? Even in the army, where our enemies are always coarse and gas, and look at who we're fighting today in Hamas, right? They were always our enemies. So we're surprised that they're so primitive, you know, in the modern world, but that's the way the world used to be. And unfortunately, our enemies still haven't matured yet. But Rav Kook knows that. And see how Rav Kook gives a beautiful new explanation of the Pasuk, Gam ki elech begeit salmavet lo irara. The common explanation is, even when I'm walking in the valley of death, I'm not scared because Hashem is with me. Do you see how Rav Kook is explaining it? Even when I am on the battlefield, where people act tameh, death, tameh, and people don't act spiritual, and they don't act godly, and they don't act moral, the Jewish heroes are adin, they are godly, and they are spiritual, even on the battlefield. That doesn't make them wimps. As a matter of fact, we always win, because Hashem is on our side. And they were great warriors. By the way, Josephus writes that the Romans were scared of the Jewish warriors because it's known that the Jewish warriors are very brave warriors. You know, after 1,900 years of Jews not serving in the army, we got this picture of the Jewish wimp, right? The 98-pound weakling, and that's exactly what Rav Kook let Rav Kook say it. Kisha'anu mitbonanim elihem. When we examine, when we analyze the original Jewish heroes of the Tanakh, hinenu bechol hofa'a haruchanit shanu kol kach shokekim la, they embody that spiritual appearance that we so much yearn to rediscover. Mishtokekim le'imutzam. Here Rav Kook is making a beautiful, classic Rav Kookian play on words. Where, what's the double meaning? Ometz is bravery, strength. But le'ametz et ha'ometz. See what Rav Kook is doing? He's saying we want to adopt their strength, which has been missing for 1,900 years. Le'koach ha'chayim ha'chatu v'agavush, to that drive of life that was embodied with the sculpted. That's literally what it means. The sculpted muscles of the heroes of the Tanakh. Ha'itan v'amutzak sheshachan bekirbam. U'mitoch teshukazu. And through this yearning that we want to rediscover the original Jew. Kolchenu aruchani mitametz v'koach vuratenu mitaden. Here's the balance of one of the major points that Rav Kook is going to talk about in parallel sources, that the balance, that our spiritual strength has to become strong, and our physical strength has to be refined. Ve'otan ha'neshamot ha'chazakot, and those strong, great heroes that we yearn to rediscover, chozrot lachyot banu kimei olam, they are now returning. Historically, when is Rav Kook writing this? At the founding of the Jewish Brigade of World War I. And I once wrote a long footnote on the Jewish Brigade, and they were not religious at all. Nevertheless, Rav Kook went out of it. You know, by the way, Trumpeldor, Jabotinsky, right? The Ben-Gurion was in the Jewish Brigade. The people that we know from the Jewish Brigade, all of them were not religious. They had a rabbi, a reverend. I mean, maybe out of respect for him, I won't mention his name. He was an Amaretz, Ligamre. You tell from the questions that he asked Rav Kook, Rav Kook goes out of his way not to call him rabbi. You know, usually rabbis call everyone a rabbi out of respect. This guy, he didn't even call him a rabbi. He called him a reverend. And anybody who's from England or America knows a reverend is somebody who's davka, not a rabbi. Right? He's not learned, but you know, he's balko, right? 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 He was the one who was, and he asks Rav Kook like questions about Can pikuach nefesh in the Jewish brigade allow one to eat non-kosher food on a day-to-day basis, even if it's not really pikuach nefesh? But the fact that you're in an army, I like crazy questions, and everybody knows the answer is no. And Rav Kook, you know, respects him, shows him respect, because b'chol zot he's a reverend. But Rav Kook actually visited with his wife once the Jewish brigade. And that's the beauty of Rav Kook, that he always focuses on the good. And he saw the Jewish brigade, with all the religious problems that they had, he saw this with his historic vision of, hey, this is the first time Jews are fighting as Jews in a Jewish army in the land of Israel since the Bar Kokhba Rebellion. Now, what would Rav Kook say today when we have Hesder Yeshivot, and we have Netzach Yehuda, and we have Nachal Charedi, and you all know what the Hesder Yeshivot are, where there are tens of yeshivas where they balance yeshiva study, high-level yeshiva study, and they go to the army, and they go back to yeshiva, and these are among the best soldiers that are in the Israeli army, and also there are many, many great dayanim and great rabbis who are coming out of this new type of yeshiva, which is the vision that Rav Kook, if you look in Orot HaTorah, when he talks about having a new type of yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, this is exactly what he's talking about. Nefesh bri'ah beguf bari. Now that we're returning to Eretz Yisrael, the time has come to go back to speaking Lashon HaKodesh, the holy language. The time has come to build Eretz HaKodesh, the holy land. The time has come to serve in Sivot Hashem. And all of this is, I've said this before, that the take in the Haredi community, in Beit HaRav Kook, just about almost every day, several times a week, you have Haredim, Mea Sharim is a minute away, you have Haredi yeshiv boys come in, and they're curious about Rav Kook. Because, you know, if you ignore someone, so you ignore him. But if the Rebbeim go out of their way to talk against Rav Kook, they're curious, you know what? And anyone who has learned the writings of Rav Kook knows that he was an unbelievable, outstanding gadol. Anybody, you don't even have to learn his books because they're very difficult. Just see the terms of kavod that all of the rabbis of the generation write to Rav Kook with unbelievable honor. A lot of people don't know, for example, the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. There were three students in Volozhin who he used to prepare the shiurim with. One was Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich, the other was Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, and the third was Rav Kook. You know, you always take the top students and, you know, you try your chidushim and they help you sharpen and answer, you know, before you get to the whole yeshiva. But that's interesting. And who did Rav Kook prepare his shiurim with? I think I mentioned this once. It's an interesting trivia point. Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, the Pachad Yitzchak, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin. Oh, people, you're young. Have you heard of Rav Yitzchak Kuttner? Yeah? Yeah? No? Okay. Bekitzur, Rav Professor Shaul Lieberman, who was probably the greatest Baki of Yerushalmi of his generation, Tosefta Kipshuto. Unfortunately, he went to the seminary afterwards. I wrote an article of how did he get to the seminary, but it was really Orthodox in his time, but you can find my article online. And Rav Charlap, obviously, was the Gadol of Yerushalayim. And there was another, the Nazir, obviously. And there's another name that Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, obviously. But Bekitzur, Rav Kook, everybody in the yeshiva world knew that Rav Kook was one of the Gedolei Ador. And getting back to what do they say in the Haredi camp about Rav Kook, there are two things that you'll always hear. Number one, that his Avat Yisrael, his love of Israel, was so great that it blinded him from seeing the shortcomings of the non-religious and of the Zionist movement. Right? if that's the worst you can say about somebody, that he is great Avat Yisrael, you know, I'd like to be in that camp. But the second thing, and that's really what I wanted to mention, is that very often the Charedim say, Rav Kook, he was a reformer. He wanted to make changes. To which Rav Kook answered, we want to go back to the original. The Galut was what warped Judaism. Galut warped Judaism and changed the picture of the ideal Jew. But the ideal Jew, you know, we can't run a country if everyone is 98-pound weaklings. And we want there to be Talmidei Chachamim leading the army and leading high-tech and leading politics. The Torah is a Torah Chaim. It's a living Torah. It's the exact opposite of what the Christians say, that I quote what they call the New Testament, but growing up in America, we pick up these things. Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and give unto God that which is his. Right? In other words, the Christians, they say, what is God about? He's about Sunday mornings between 9 and 10 in the church. Everything else, economy, politics, army, marriage, that's not God's territory, according to Christianity. And Judaism says, lit atar panui mine, there is no place void of God. And just like there, we want to reveal godliness in our eating, in our dress, in our speech, so too on the time has come that Hashem is bringing us back, that the time has come to reveal godliness in the national realm as well. Yeah, in the army. And that is a challenge, but we see Baruch Hashem today in the Hesder Yeshivot and in the Tanakh, that is a challenge that we are meant to meet. We're running out of time, and I swear we're not going to cover this, finish this Seif today. But let's just see a couple of other things. I brought for you in Source 2 a couple of places where Rav Kook, in his poetic style of writing, he talks about with a admiration for the military. For example, Tna li tna gvurat chifetz. Give me, I hate translating poetry because it always comes out... trite is the word. give me the desire for strength. Hoshitli na kadure nefetz. Give me cannonballs. Anafetz bahem tirotu migdalim. I will blow up with those cannonballs palaces and towers. Vadvarim kichitzim yiklu umataratam. And these things will get a bullseye into the target just like an arrow. And his Zmirot of Motzei Shabbat, which is a tefillah for Geula. Velokei avili avili avi et Eliyahu anavi. Le'et yakitz aryeh v'lavi. The day will come that Am Yisrael will rise up like a lion. Here, Rav Kook is paraphrasing Bilam. That Bil'am, in talking about Acharit HaYamim, when the time of Mashiach, in the time of Geula, we will return to be lions. That's the bracha of Yehuda, the bracha of Dan, Shevet Dan. We see the Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu praise Am Yisrael as lions. V'chalashim nidka'im yimalu gvura. Again, this is a continuation of that song, that in the Geula, the weak and downtrodden, they will be filled with strength once again. Jews are not going to be pushovers, just like David HaMelech was not a pushover, and that was a Chilul Hashem in the Holocaust when Jews were pushovers, and everyone's laughing, Jew, where's your God? And even Jews started asking, where is our God? The ideal Jewish situation is that we are victorious. And by the way, we'll see a lot more next week, but just in terms of Chizuk about the present situation, nobody has any doubt that Am Yisrael is going to be victorious. Hashem has to make us victorious. He is called Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And as we've learned, every time that in the process of Geula there's a down, it's a Yirida Letzorech Aliyah.
Rav Kook also writes in Einaya, Shririm Chazakim Leim Gvura. We have to return to strong muscles, full of strength. Okay, that this is the picture of the ideal Jew. Let's look in source 5, where I like, I have to, Bezrat Hashem, one of those articles that I have to write out once is to make a long list of parallels between the Netziv and Rav Kook. Everybody knows that the Netziv was Rav Kook's Rebbe Mufak, and there are a lot of ideas of Rav Kook that he learned from his Rebbe, from the Netziv. And one of them, just an example, is at the end of Parshat Bishalach, when Hashem, Moshe tells Yehoshua, again we're in Source 5, Bichar lanu anashim v'tzei hilachim ba'amalek. Choose men and go and fight Amalek. Won't get into the question why Moshe Rabbeinu there davens with his hands and not actively. Other, for example, Sichon Melech Amori, Og Melech HaBashan, Moshe Rabbeinu conquers physically, leading the charge at the age of 119. Lo kata ino velo nas lecho, right? His eye vision was perfect, and he was still as strong as when he was younger. Sometimes we forget that Og Melech HaBashan, not only is he a giant that Moshe conquers at the age of 119, the Bashan is the hardest terrain in the Middle East. We're talking about the Golan Heights. And today, people go up by, how do you call it, Rakevel, the cable cars, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu is dodging arrows on his way up to conquer from Og Melech HaBashan. So the Netziv writes, Giborim kederech milchama bederech hateva. He says we need to have strong people, people who are naturally strong. Ubetargum Yonatan ita elu baleip kudaya. These are the people of the mitzvot, that they are the strong people. Hainu giborim b'milchamta shel Torah. Because somebody who is great at the war of Torah, in learning Torah, Shehema Mesugalim Biyichud L'Milchama Tivit, Kamo Shekatavnu Kama Pa'amim. The greatest warriors are Davka, the yeshiva boys. Davka, the Talmidei Chachamim, as we see throughout the Tanakh. It's interesting to point out that in Letters of Yoni, written by Yoni Netanyahu, today people know him as Bibi's brother, but Bismano, everybody knew him. He was the commander of the Sayeret Matkal, of the commando unit, who led the miraculous Bezrat Hashem, maybe the greatest military raid in saving 103 hostages in Entebbe. And, you know, people today are talking, we should do this. Today it's a lot more complicated because they're all spread out all over. The 200 hostages. But Bekitzur, Yoni Netanyahu, before he was a commander in Sayeret Matkal, he was, I believe, the Amachat in Shiryon, in the tanks. And he obviously was a super talented person. And they say that he put his brothers in a small pocket. You know, he really was, anybody who knew him was very awed by him. And there's a letter there where he writes to Rav Yehuda Amital, who was not only, everybody knows that he was the Rosh Yeshiva in Har Etzion, but he was also the head of the Igud Yeshivot HaEsder. And Yoni Netanyahu is writing to him at a time where there was the HaEsder program, when I did it also, today it's not that way anymore, used to learn in yeshiva, go to the army, back to the yeshiva, back to the army, back to the yeshiva. They got, after years, they figured out that it's not good to be a ping pong. You know, better to spend more time here, more time there. But at the time, so there was tension in the north on the Syrian border. And Yoni Netanyahu, who was the commander of the tanks, wrote a letter to Rav Yehuda Amital asking him to please defer. He says, I know the Gush guys are supposed, or the Hezder boys in general, are supposed to be returning to the yeshiva in another week or whatever it is, but there's a lot of tension on the border, and we need our best soldiers on the border and those are the Hesder boys. Where their motivation, like the Netziv is saying, somebody who's motivated, he knows what Eretz Yisrael is about, he knows what Am Yisrael is about, he knows what we're fighting for, he's not just going to the army because they drafted him and he has no choice, right? These are, again, going to be the best soldiers. Maybe let's just finish off this one point. Let's look in source 6. Vizoti, this is from Eder Ayakar, page Nun Vav. Vizoti agvura hamiyuchedet lanu midei ozer Yisrael bigvura. Notice Rav Kook is pointing out that one of the praises that we bless Hashem in Birchot HaShachar, that he gives Am Yisrael strength. I don't remember if I should have mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, one of the 10 sefirot, one of the 10 Kabbalistic attributes of God, Keter Chochmah Bina Gdula, is Gvura. And what we're going to talk about next time is what is the Gvura of Hashem that Am Yisrael wants to adopt, and that the heroes of the Tanakh all typified. Ta'azreinu Oz V'chayil, Hashem will gird us, once again, with bravery and strength. Just like it always was, we are meant to derive our strength from our spiritual source. Kishenafsir, let's look at source 7 in our Pelei Tohar, page Nun. Ha'oz v'adar mitarmenim. This is one of the few places that Rav Kook he likes inventing words in Hebrew, and he turns harmony into a verb. So he says that Oz and Hadar, we know that Oz v'Hadar levusha, they don't contradict. Oz and Hadar is inner strength and external strength. They are meant to harmonize. Ugvurata emet v'ziva shira betzurotehem ayoter shlemut mitchabrim yachad. Or in Megid Yerechim, source 8, Gvurat emet timatze rak b'makom she'or Elokim shama. Right? True strength is davka where you have the spiritual as well. We don't want our physical strength and our physical heroes to be gas, to be crude, to be those boxers who can't even sign their name on the contract, right? And why is this such an important philosophical point? And this is, with this we finish. Rav Kook, throughout his writing, talks about achdut, ha-achdut ha-kolelet. When somebody asked the Nazir to summarize the hashkaf of Rav Kook in two words, he said, ha-achdut ha-kolelet. It's the unity which unites even the opposites. Rav Neria, Moshe Tzvi Neria, used to say, ichud ha-hofachim, uniting the opposites. Because if there's one creator, there cannot be opposites. And it's true that when people are primitive, when children, also in the micro, also in the macro, when children are young and unsophisticated, you go into a gun and you ask them, what's the opposite of boy? They will say girl. And only after they mature do they realize that boys and girls dafka harmonize together beautifully. Right, you can't have a family without a boy and a girl, or without a man and a woman. Right, it's a natural shidduch. Right, when man was immature, they used to think that positive and negative contradict, and then it took man more than 5,000 years till they figured out that that is how you make electricity. You have a positive charge and a negative charge. And this is the Kabbalistic idea that we've seen in the past. It says in the Zohar that in a round world, the further you get from one point, the more you eventually return to the same point, because there's no contradictions. In Avodah Zarah, in paganism, everything is contradictions. There's the God of the heavens and the God of the earth, and the God of strength and the God of beauty, and the God of sun and the God of the moon, and everything is contradictions. That's Avodah Zarah, and that's why they were so violent, because everything was war. In monotheism, there is one creator. Ki biyah Hashem sur olamim. Chazal say, yud hey, yud is olam haba, hey is olam hazeh. God created both the physical and the spiritual world. And maybe the best example is that the final stop in the ideal world is not, according to mainstream Judaism, I know the Rambam disagrees, very controversial, we won't get into the Rambam's opinion on this, but almost everyone agrees with Chazal that say that Olam HaNishamot, Olam HaBa, that's not the ideal world. The final destination is Tchiyat HaMetim, where we have a body and we have a soul, and the two harmonize together. Because that's what Unitarianism is about. That's what monotheism is about. And this is not a small point. This is a very big philosophical point. And that's why Rav Kook is saying that we have to harmonize all of the opposites, including physical strength and spiritual strength. We'll continue next time. Right.